write another page. I need a young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Well, seems like men my age are all married, boring or tied. You gotta find a young man if you wanna feel desired. Now, some of my friends is worried about what people may say. I say age ain't nothing but a number, the good Lord made it that way. I need a young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Cause he ain't worried about seniority. You can tell him where to put it. Keeping you happy is his priority. I need a young, young man. Yeah, I need a young, young man. I need a young, young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Well, I'll forget about my arthritis, my backache, my lumbago. That young man makes me boogie. At the horizontal disco, I'm cleaning out my closet. I'm no longer sentimental. Forget about experience, I'd rather have potential. A young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Well, I don't need no reefer, I don't need no cocaine. All I need is a young man to drive me insane. I'm throwing away my dust mop, got a brand new vacuum cleaner. I'm no longer taken for granted. My young man sucks it up, sweet up. A young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. I say, and old woman don't yell, and old woman don't tell, and old woman don't swell, and she's grateful as hell. I need a young, young man. Forget about my arthritis, my backache, my lumbago. That young man makes me boogie at the horizontal disco. I'm cleaning out my closet, I'm no longer sentimental. Forget about experience, I'd rather have potential. A young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Well, I don't need no reefer, I don't need no cocaine. All I need is a young man to drive me insane. I've got a brand new vacuum cleaner, no longer taken for granted. My young man sucks it up, sweet up. A young man to drive away my middle-aged blues. Help me, everybody. I said, and old woman don't yell, and old woman don't tell, and old woman don't swell, and she's grateful as hell. I need a young, young man. Yeah, I need a young, young man. I need a young, young man. Drive away my middle-aged blues. Easy now, I say age ain't nothing but a number. You know that age ain't nothing but a number, y'all. I say that age ain't nothing but a number. You know that age ain't nothing but a number. And like a rare wine, you don't get older, you just get better.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we have DP in the studio. I don't really have your mic set up, but say hello.
Hello.
Woo-hoo, there we go. DP is a volunteer here, and she is just checking out to observe the show. So just give me a little wave if you have any questions for today's guest. Otherwise, I'll have your mic turned down. And she's also joined by Amy. Did you want to say hi, too?
Hello.
Hello. Okay. So on today's show, we're going to be speaking with Dwayne Klassen. He is an author, a speaker, a coach. He's actually a remarkable man coach, and we're going to find out what that's all about today. And welcome to the show, Dwayne.
Marie, it's a real pleasure to be on this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So yeah, you approached me. We were at the Karen McGregor event on Tuesday night. That's where we met, and you were kind of hanging out by the desk there and said, hey, and we got to talking, and here you are.
That's right. Yeah, I love how synchronicity works.
Isn't it fun? Cool. So you sent me your book. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing because it was just over the weekend, and it's been a busy weekend. But your job is to inspire men to be remarkable. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, that's a two-hour program right there. However, just to encapsulate that, we're in very interesting times right now. The way relationships are right now, we're in the age of the empowered woman, and she is rocking it in every sense of the word. However, men right now, when I started writing this book, I realized that there's a global malaise that's happening to men. And there's a dis-ease that's happening. And men right now are feeling more challenged, more frustrated, and more confused as to what it means to be a man in today's world than ever before. And these two worlds, where women are just rocking and guys are kind of flatlining, well, those two worlds are colliding, and it's creating a lot of turmoil in relationships. And right now, the relationship statistics are not very good. And so the remarkable man is there to create a container. It's creating a level of awareness for men to help them be remarkable. Because every man has this vision for himself, what a remarkable man is. He can see him. He is out there. He is rocking it. And you know how he walks, how he talks, who he associates with. My vision for the remarkable man and the Remarkable Man Project and things that I do is to help men have this container, give him the tools, the resources, and the brotherhood to help him get to that remarkable man so that he becomes this guy that can step into his power and be a champion to the women in his life. He can be a hero to his children, and he can be a brother to each other.
Well, that sounds sexy. I like that. So thank you for doing that. I'm curious, because there's the Great Man Project, or I can't remember. The Good Man.
The Good Man Project, yep.
Is that, I'm curious how you got, you just came up with this idea. I know that the beginning of your book, you share a bit about your life story and how that all came about. But I'm wondering if you're at all associated with the Good Man Project, because I have heard of them.
No. The Good Man Project is an amazing place for blogs and articles on, you know, advice for men, guys to step up and be in their power. What the Remarkable Man Project is a movement. We're creating chapters in cities all around the world where guys can actually come together physically into their chapters, support one another, get the resources, and have this place that's theirs. Because, you know, you look at the landscape right now, and there's a resource or support group for every aspect of a woman's life, and there's very little available to men. And when I was doing the research for the book, and you know, I came out of my situation, I was looking for support. And the guys' groups that were available were really hard to find. It was really kind of under the radar. And it was either in a church basement or drumming naked in the forest. And no, there's nothing wrong with that. There's some great groups that's, you know, that's their place. But it wasn't for me. I knew where I was at, and I didn't like it, and I wanted to change. And there was a guy that I was moving towards. And so the universe just kind of said, well, this is going to be your next chapter. And so that's what I wanted to create. I wanted to create something that was sexy, attractive to guys, that it wasn't about commiserating. It wasn't about lamenting on their challenges and their issues and their dramas. It was about actually making real change that their wives, their girlfriends could really notice, that their children would really notice. If they're going into the, you know, maybe perhaps they're divorced, that they change the chapter, you know, they change the story, that they're more empowered now moving into a new relationship where he doesn't take the dramas from previous relationships into that, and he could step up and be her champion. And so the Good Man Project, and there's many other websites that are, you know, that have tremendous amount of resources that I tap into as well. However, there's not a lot out there that guys can physically tap into and create this brotherhood, this community to support one another on their journey. And that's what the Remarkable Man Project's all about.
Cool. Well, when I was reading the introduction of your book, I actually got a little emotional reading it. It's called I've Got Your Back. And that story was amazing, and I'm wondering if you would be so kind as to share a bit of it with us.
Sure. It was. It's going back quite a while. We're in the mid '90s, and I was living in the valley, and I had just moved downtown. It was one of my things where I just loved living downtown Vancouver, and I had an opportunity to do that, and just ended up inking the lease. And I was actually going back. I was taking the SkyTrain. The SkyTrain was fairly new at the time. And this was on a Sunday afternoon. It was a beautiful day. But there was not a lot of people on the car. I believe I got on at the Granville station. And by the time we got to Broadway, there might have been maybe, I suppose, maybe 6 or 7 people on the car. And I wasn't really paying much attention. So I knew there was someone behind me. There was a couple of girls with their, like they were students. And then there was an elderly Indian couple with, looked like their grandkids. And it looked like they had come back from a very, you know, a prestigious event, some family gathering, because she was in a very beautiful sari. He had like a ceremonial dress on, beautiful turban. And the little kids were also dressed up. So we get past get to Broadway station. I'm looking out the window, and I don't know if you've ever felt evil or darkness. Well, something happened. Something walked into this car, and I could feel the darkness. The car starts moving forward, and I turn and I look, and my eyes gravitate to more of the floor, and I'm seeing these black jackboots. And as I work my way up, he is a very imposing skinhead, and he's all tatted up, and he's a big guy. And if any of your listeners have ever watched professional football, there are linebackers, there's guys on the front line that are so big that their jerseys don't fit them, that they actually have to cut the arms out of their jersey in order for their arms to fit. Well, this guy had his arms cut out of the jacket that he was wearing, and he was carrying the remnants of a six-pack. There was only one left. He had one in his hand, and the rest were dangling in his hand. And he turns, and he looks, and I can't say it on air what he said, but it was a greeting with the letter F in it and U, and he was saying it to everyone. And loudly. So right away, my attention is like, well, this is not going to end well. This is not good. Now he's looking in our direction. He hasn't seen the Indian family yet. And I could just see with what he's wearing in regards to his tattoos and whatnot, that was incredibly racially challenging. I'm being very kind with my words here because I'm on the air.
Thank you.
he is, now he turns and he sees them and he's going, awesome, this is so good. And he lurches and he just absolutely lurches, like using the handlebars, and just lands in front of them. Boom. And he starts talking the most vile racial things you could possibly imagine. And these two children are witnessing this thing, and it's going down, and he's hitting the glass behind the grandfather. And he's going to hit them, and I could feel it. He's going to hit him. And something within me, I'm going, no one's doing anything. No one's saying anything. And I'm not a fighter. I've had a couple of epic fights in my younger years, but it's something that I'm just not in alignment with. And I'm like, if I don't say something, it's going to go down. And finally, I just said, that's not going to happen. And it was like a Tyrannosaurus Rex hearing a twig snap behind him, because he turns and he looks and he's like, who said that? And I'm like, and my heart just leaps out of my chest. And he comes over and he just gives me the look, and he goes, first I'm going to deal with him, and then you're dead. You're done. You're so done. And he goes back and he starts doing his thing again. And I'm freaking out here. I'm just like, it's going to happen. And what do I do? And in this moment, I get this clarity. Now, I knew that there was someone behind me, but I didn't pay any attention. All of a sudden, I feel this hand touch my left shoulder. And I could feel someone reaching in. And just behind my ear, I hear, I've got your back. And I went, whoa. And for any guys out there, I mean, anyone in this situation, I was filled with this. It was almost like I had this can of spinach, you know, and Popeye did his thing. And I felt that I was not alone in this anymore. And I just said, that's it. Me and you, Edmund Station. And I was putting all my eggs in a basket here, because I knew that these cars had microphones in them. And I'm betting, you know, that there's going to be security at Edmund Station. And then all of a sudden, ding, 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 the next station is Edmund. And my heart just, and he goes, that's it. You and I are done. And he says, don't think for a moment that you're going to escape or get away. I've got you. And the door is about to open and he's facing me and he's going to pull me out. And just to the corner of my eye, I see the security running onto the platform, and they grab him and he's going down. And as he's going down, he's going, I'll find you. I'll find you. And the door is shut. And I turn around and I bump into the guy that had my back. I literally bumped in. He hit my chest. And I was thinking this guy was going to be like me. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4" and I've got some size to me. I was thinking that this guy was going to be, you know, comparable. But I look down at this guy and he's like 5'7", 5'8", maybe 130 pounds soaking wet. And he is shaking. He's white as a ghost. And I'm like, wow. And he's like looking at me and he's got no words. And all of a sudden the car just erupts in applause. And they're just, you know, everyone's super excited and stoked. And oddly enough, the train got to 22nd Street Station and he got off and we never exchanged names, nothing. He just disappeared into my past. And I sat down. The Indian couple was very gracious in their applause and appreciation. And it just really hit me as to what it really means to have a brother's back. Most guys only hear that as a sports euphemism, you know, and watching the game, hey, got your back. And to truly mean it, whether it's a stranger or a friend or, you know, someone that is in your life, guys need to have that. And it became one of the things when I started writing this book, that memory of what it meant to truly have a brother on my side. And whether he knew me or not, he was willing and ready to go into battle. Whether we would have been victorious or not, it didn't matter. It was about the safety of people that were on that car. And it just really changed the focus of my life and my direction and what it meant to have real friends and value what that friendship looked like. And having I Got Your Back was pivotal for that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that story. I just found it so inspirational. And it's interesting what you said at the top of the hour. You mentioned how there's so many resources for women, and the women's empowerment movement kind of has left men sort of not knowing their place, really. But I think that having a lack of brotherhood, sisterhood, I mean, I think it crosses all genders, because women now are so much in competition with each other, and we're so much in our male energy a lot of the time. So I think it's not just men that are missing this community of true support.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, we are in a I have a quick theory, if you will, as to what's happening with the dynamics with men and women. I mean, there are whether we're in a single situation or they're in relationship, the relationship landscape is changing, and so is the business landscape is changing, and it's very much due to this shift in masculine and feminine energy. And as much as we're in an age right now where we are shifting into feminine consciousness, a feminine vibration is now on the planet, and we've left a very masculine energy, the egoic masculine, which we've been in for thousands of years. Now, you would think that with this feminine energy on the planet, women would be feeling this more, you know, that this vibration of femininity. However, it doesn't work that way. The feminine vibration, as it is in women, actually amps up their power, amps up their assertiveness, and appears to be more in their masculine energy. And how it's showing up with guys, and this is where that confusion comes from, is that it's showing up as, you know, this kinder, gentler, you know, version. However, he becomes very indecisive. And so these two worlds are colliding, and women are showing up and being incredibly competitive. And in some ways, you're right, there's this dichotomy that's being created where on one hand you have this empowerment, but we also have the separation that's occurring. And more women are taking a page of what guys have been doing, and, you know, it's not serving them either. So there has to be this sweet spot of understanding how these two energies flow between us, when to access our masculine, when to access our feminine. And for guys, a lot of them are in resistance to the idea that they're in their feminine vibration. No way, man. I'm not gay. And it has nothing to do with that. It's masculine and feminine energy. It's not gender specific. And so when a man is in his feminine energy, this is when he's kind, he's courteous, he's communicating, he's compassionate, he's connected to his emotions. Those are all good things. However, if he goes too far into it, this is where he loses his energy. And it's the same with women. You know, there are moments when, you know, our business world is very masculine. It still is. And so you've got to play in that energy in order to be effective. However, if you go too far into your masculine energy, then it becomes this almost a protection. Like, I'm doing my thing. I don't need your help. It becomes a place of resistance, and you become isolated. You become an island unto yourself, and that doesn't serve any of us as we move forward. So it's really understanding how these energies show up in us, and to help understand how we can best use it when we're interacting with people. How do I need to move my energy into this vibration that's going to serve me? And I tell my coaching clients, for my guys, that our number one goal as men in relationship is to help her be in her feminine. That's our number one modus operandi. If we can do that as men, help her be in her feminine, then watch out. Look what happens. He ends up having his cake and eating it too, because the way the feminine is wired, if she's allowed to be in her feminine vibration and he's got it because he's in his masculine, his authentic masculine, then all of a sudden the feminine is a very giving vibration. So she will give tenfold in return because she's got her needs met. She's got her protection. She's got her safety. He's taken it on, and that it's still heart-centered. So he knows when to move into his feminine, when he needs to be nurturing, when he needs to be supportive. But that feminine, masculine sweet spot, it's a tricky thing, and there's no language for it. So we don't understand why these vibrations are doing what they're doing. We argue about the traditional things we argue about. We argue about the bills. We argue about our work, the pressure, the pain, the whatever. But really, it's misplaced energy. And if we can actually move into the energies that serve us, and if we have a partner in our lives that helps serve that and understand where each of us is, that's a very luscious, delicious relationship. And very few people have the pleasure of actually being in that. And that's what I want to change. I want to be that guy that gives that language so people can understand, especially men can understand where they're at and why they're showing up the way they do in relationship.
Awesome. Well, it is time for a break. We will be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment. This is CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver on the University of British Columbia campus. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're speaking right now with Dwayne Klassen. He's the author of The Remarkable Man, and he's the founder of The Remarkable Man Project. And you can find more information about that at remarkablemanproject.com and also on Dwayne Klassen's website, DwayneKlassen.com, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity momentarily.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Do you need someone to talk to? If you are seeking a listener who is non-judgmental, confidential, and familiar with resources, then a Speakeasy volunteer might be able to help you. AMS Speakeasy is a peer support service located in the North Concourse of the Sub. If you would like to speak to someone, come to the desk and tell a volunteer, or ring the doorbell located behind the desk.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're back with Dwayne Klassen. He is the founder of the Remarkable Man Project and author of The Remarkable Man, and his job is to inspire men to be remarkable. Welcome back to the show, Dwayne.
It's great to be here, Marie.
Yay. So, yeah, DP's here. She's enjoying your theories and your stories. How's it going over there, DP?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Good. Yeah. I'm glad you could be here.
Thank you.
So, Dwayne, I wanted to ask you about the in-person part of this Remarkable Man project. Do you currently have a group here in Vancouver? And if so, what does that look like?
Yes, we do. We've had our chapter here for about a year and a bit now. And yeah, the chapters themselves, we meet every second Wednesday, and we are the whole idea behind that is that it's real world empowerment. So for the first part of the meetings, we do our check-in, and the check-in is, you know, what who they are, what they're about, and what has come up for them in the last 2 weeks. And we do what's called a declaration at the end of each of the meetings. And the declarations are, how am I going to be remarkable in three areas of my life? So my declaration for my personal life. So that will be, you know, your family, your children, perhaps it's health and fitness. What declaration are you going to do that you're committed to doing in the next 2 weeks that's going to take your life to the next level? That's one. The second one is community. How are you going to be remarkable in your community, whether it's paying it forward, being involved with an outreach, or just in your neighborhood? What can you do to be remarkable to the people and in your community? And then the third one is, because as men, we identify so much of who we are with our business. If it's doing well, we're doing well. And we want guys to be, you know, stepping up their game with their business, whether they're employees or they're self-employed. So they have to declare three things that they're going to do in these areas, and they do their check-in, and they have to, you know, be accountable to that, whether it worked or it didn't, or what came up for them. And so that's the check-in. And then we go into what's called the takeaway, and the takeaway is more of a presentation style about what we can do to step up our game. It might be in personal growth and in regards to what does authenticity mean? You know, how do we need to be champions to women? And what do our relationships look like? These are practical tools that he can take away that night and implement them into his life. Then we have a break. We have a discussion session about that. We have a break. And then we come back for what's called Remarkable Mansers. And this is the container that allows men to pretty much put any question, concern that's going on in their lives. And what's really cool is that there's a collective wisdom in that room that'll blow you away. And so there's chances are there's brothers that have been there that have had that experience or going through it right now and can relate. And so there's that feedback. And so it just goes around the room until that particular topic or that individual has been heard. And he feels that he's been heard. He's got the information. But it's more than that. What is he going to do next? What's his next step? How is he going to apply what he just heard into his life? And then we close the evening with our declarations for the next 2 weeks. And everyone has to express what those declarations are, how they're going to be remarkable. As we're creating this container that's not about commiserating. It's not about staying stuck. It's about moving forward towards that remarkable man. And so every week, it's a journey. And we have a curriculum. They get a binder as their membership. And everything is there for them. And then we also have a Facebook members page as well. So we've got all the different cities that are involved. All the guys can communicate to each other, connect, support one another. And, it's just a really cool experience for guys to come in, check it out, and it's also a place where they can step into their masculinity as well, because for a lot of guys, all they have is their relationship, and they're not in a sports team, or they might be, or they hang out with guys at the bar, but they're not having the enriching conversations. They want more. They're feeling that something's missing. And they come here and they amp it up. And when they leave, their wives or girlfriends are going, damn, what happened to you? Come here. And they notice a difference. So that there is that container that we're creating for them, and it's really cool.
DP smiling about you saying, damn, what have you been up to? Well, that's interesting because you, in part three of your book, The Seven Essentials, essential number two is the company that you keep. And I was talking with my boyfriend about this the other day. And he was actually really interested when I mentioned that I'd met you on Tuesday night and I was interviewing you. And he thought it was interesting what you're up to. But we've talked about that and the company that we keep, and we even notice, I mean, we love our friends and they're lots of fun, but as far as like their goals and relationships and their values and things like that, we notice when we hang out with them that there are more conflicts that come up. They'll even criticize some of the ways that we choose to negotiate things in our relationship. So can we talk a little bit about, I mean, it's just a difference of opinion, but if we're on a track and it works for us, I don't want to be criticized for it, right? So can you talk a little bit about the importance of the company you keep and how that relates to the work that you're doing in person with men?
Well, sure. You kind of alluded to that in regards to how your friends treat you. And I think it stems from the fact that we are, as we evolve, as we grow and our sense of awareness starts to expand, so will our friendships. And you'll start to wonder what value your current circle really is there for you. Because in the end, we are the sum total of the five people we really associate with. If you are a certain economic level, you know, your income, chances are most of your peeps that you hang out with are in that too. Now, you might have someone that's in your circle that's a superstar and they're rocking it and they hang out with you because, you know, you're just great to hang out with and you've got a legacy. And there's probably someone in your life that's really struggling. And so there's an opposite there, but there's somewhere you are the common denominator of all your friends. And so it's important that if you are here to play a bigger game, if there's a vision that you have for your life that requires you to reach and to stretch and to grow, then you got to get around the right people, because we have what I call, you know, crabs in your bucket. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever gone sand crabbing, you know, White Rock or, you know, on the island or whatever, interesting thing about crabs is that if you had a child's pail, like a little pail for sand and whatnot the kids play with, if you put a sand crab in that pail, she will escape. Somehow they'll use their momentum, they'll do whatever, and they'll escape. The bucket will tip. And out it goes. But the interesting thing is, if you put two sand crabs in there, they will most likely die. And the reason is that as they're escaping, the next one is pulling the next one, the other one down. And they, you know, one might get to the brim and then it yank and they pull them down. Now, they're not doing this consciously. They're both trying to survive. They're both trying to get out of there. But in the end, exhaustion gets to them, and they both collapse at the bottom of the bucket. And the question becomes, how many crabs do you have in your bucket? As you're trying to up-level your life, as you want to get around the right people and doing things. And I've heard it so many times when someone has a new job or a new position, and I hear it a lot in regards to, you know, like multi-level marketing. You know, someone's trying to change their lives, and they get into, you know, this new business that they're in. And their friends and family are right there going, oh, you're doing that. Oh, yay. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, good luck. Awesome. You know, no, I'm good. I'm good. No, you just keep on keeping on. My cousin did that, and she bombed. It was terrible. She didn't do really well. But you know, good luck to you. You know, and so they're not supportive. They're not, you know, or you want to be an author, you want to be, you know, a new chapter in your life. And they're like, yeah, I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work. But if you can do it, you know, let me know. But here's the thing. When people do that, and if you buy into that, then you're hanging out with dream stealers. And these people, you really need to get out of your life with love, you know, because some of them are most likely family. You know, you have these people that come into your life as a, for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And the reason people are those introducers, people that are just, you know, short-term friends, and they're introducing you to people. And you'll go, how did we ever meet? You know, I can't remember. Oh, it was Sally. She introduced. You remember Sally? Whatever happened to her? I don't know. And those are reasons. People come together for a reason. And Sally was a reason to introduce you to other people. It might be a short-term fling to help you to see something in yourself that you never saw before. A lesson was learned. A season is a little bit long-term, a little more long-term. These might be, you know, friends from college that you just have this intimate relationship with business-wise. It might be a relationship that's, you know, a few years, but the learning's a lot deeper. And then there's the lifetime, and this is typically family. You can't divorce them. You can't get rid of them. They're there. But they're there to teach you something. And we have to be the guardian at the gate in regards to who we listen to and who we're getting around to be supportive. Family, it could be well-meaning. But here's the thing. If you actually do your dream, regardless of what they tell you, they're only doing it to protect themselves, because if you succeed, it will shed a light on them and their average life. And they don't want that. They want you to stay with them, because they know that if you get to this level, you'll leave them. And they don't want that. They're not doing it to hurt you. They're not doing it to be mean-spirited. It's just a part of them subconsciously that they don't want you to leave this comfort zone that is there. And I created the Remarkable Man Project to be this place beyond the comfort zone, that you get around like-minded men that are all wanting to play a bigger game, that will call you on your stuff if you're slacking off, that will be the brothers that have your back when you need to have a brother to have your back, and to have the most enriching conversations you've ever had that move you forward. You can still have all your buddies, you know, the sports and the bars and whatever. But there'll come a time when your purpose and passion becomes more important than that. And you want to surround yourself with people that are doing big things. And I, too, was that guy that didn't want to let go of some friends that weren't serving him. It took me a long time to get past that. But when I did, a door closes, another opens. So you just need to trust yourself that it is exactly the right thing to do in this moment. You can love them, but the chapter has ended. Your learning has ended. And as you do, you create this space for newness to come in and the right people to support and serve the direction that you're going.
Hmm. Thanks, Dwayne. I'm actually curious, because you mentioned people like family or people that you can't really get rid of. And I've actually noticed, because what I used to do is, if there was someone in my life that the relationship wasn't serving me, I would essentially break up with them. And but I've discovered for myself, I try to live my life more in balance, because I've noticed that when you say, no, we're not going to talk anymore, you completely separate yourself from someone, it can cause a lot more drain and drama than just sort of moving people who are healthier or more in line with your goals closer to your inner circle, and moving those people who aren't as supportive a little bit back, just taking a step back, maybe not talking to them as often, but not having any kind of formal we're done conversation.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to go cold turkey. I mean, I still have friends that I hang out with every once in a while, but it's not as frequent as it used to be. And they know the direction I'm going in. And the narrative that I have for them is that I'm really busy. I don't have time for that. I'll give you a call. And it's on my terms now. And they're not pissed at me. They're not angry. They know I'm playing a big game. And I've got a big, big vision. And so you're absolutely right. And there are people that are you know, I enjoy hanging out with these guys. We've got some history, but I just know that when I'm with them, that the conversations are going to be, you know, at a certain level. And I'll amp it up. I'll challenge them, and they'll go, "Oh, you're doing your thing again, aren't you? Are you coaching me right now?" You know, and because I can't turn it off, and I want the best for them, so I will challenge them. Whereas before I wouldn't, you know, and I would just play their game, and I would be that guy, and want to be accepted in that clique, but I don't do that anymore. This is who I am, and you have to accept me for what this is. That's how I've turned now.
Well, speaking of challenging people, it's interesting because so many people want to be accepted. They don't want to create any kind of, they don't want to rock the boat, so they'll just be yes men in your life. And even if you say, "Oh, do you think I'm making a mistake?" and they're like, "You're crazy." They won't say that. They'll be like, "Oh, yeah, that's great." They just sort of want to be like, I don't even think it's, they want to be supportive, but they're not encouraging. They're just basically telling you what you want to hear. And I find that for me, I try again with the balance. I mean, I do call people on their stuff, but some people don't want to hear that. Some people just want to hear, they just want to be surrounded by yes men. And I think the way to know who is going to be there to really support you and is wanting to work on themselves is when you call someone on their stuff and they thank you for it.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I think that, you know, and you've probably been in this situation where you were dating someone and then you let them go and then they tell you what they really thought of them. You know, it's like, "What do you mean? Everything you thought he was like the sweetest thing, and he was awesome. What's going on?" "Well, I knew he wasn't good for you, you know, or whatever." And you know, I've seen that so many times, and I've experienced it myself. And you know, and people are the way they are because, you know, we want to be liked at the expense of our authenticity. And it's okay. There's ways to be truly authentic without being crass and my way the highway. It's just like, hey, you know, I care about you, and have you considered this? You know, I want the best for you, and I know that you have so much potential. And, you know, you just make sure that they know that it's coming from a place of love. That you know, your answer is not the definitive thing. That if you don't do it your way, then you can't be friends. It's just being a friend is offering suggestion from love and compassion for who they are, and you see, you know, the soul within them, and see what their potential is, or you see the pain they're living in because they're not living the life that they know that they need to be living. And so someone's trying to lose weight and you're hanging out at Earl's having the amazing toffee chocolate cake, and, which is my favorite, by the way. And, you know, it's how we serve our relationships. If they've expressed what it is that they need to do and you're a trigger for all that's wrong, then that's not serving the relationship. It's just a test on the other side. So, you know, I agree with you. There are those times that we are all human and we want people to like us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for another quick break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined by Dwayne Klassen. He is a remarkable man, coach, speaker, and author. He's the author of The Remarkable Man and founder of The Remarkable Man Project, which is at remarkablemanproject.com. We'll be back with more synchronicity and wrapping it up pretty quickly in just a moment.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We're joined by Dwayne Klassen. And coming up in 10 or 11 minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific. So stick around for that. And yeah, Dwayne, we only have a few minutes left in the show. I wanted to ask you where else your groups are located, but what would you like to focus on for the last few minutes?
Well, I think the last thing would be in regards to what can men do right now to step into the remarkable man that they envision for themselves. Regardless if they're attracted to the Remarkable Man Project or my book or my coaching, what can you do yourself to step into that? How can you be a champion to the woman or your partner in your life? And just three quick things. The first one is to be decisive. You've got to start making more decisions because this really helps you to step into your authentic masculine power. Be decisive in your relationships. And let me be clear here. This is not about being bossy. This is about just stepping into your role as the man in the relationship dynamic. She has to make so many decisions throughout her day, whether it be for the business, for the family, the household, and in the relationship. Take some of that pressure off of her and be decisive. You know, we're so conditioned to go, yes, dear, whatever you want, dear. That's, no, you pick the restaurant. I'm good. Well, you pick the movie. I'm good. No, start making decisions and just say, guy, babe, 7 o'clock, little black dress, get ready. And be smart about it, that you're taking her somewhere that she actually likes. It's not a 2-for-1 special at Arby's. It's you're taking her somewhere special. And be mindful of the tests, because if you're not authentic about it, she will test you. And it will be, well, we don't have a sitter. The place is a mess. The garbage, the garage is a mess. Take care of it. Handle it. Be first. And handle the decisions. Once you start doing that, wow, watch what happens. And the second thing is be a man with a plan. You don't already have to have it all figured out. You could be a man struggling to get to the next level. Show her the plan that this is where you're at, but this is where you're going. If you do that, it is almost as sexy as you already being there, because you've got this, you understand it, you accept where you're at. But it's not who you are. It's who the man you were becoming. That's what she'll attach her star to. And she will be your biggest fan. So, be a man with a plan. And if you have children, model an amazing relationship to them. Show them what passion looks like. Show them what apology looks like. Show them what just digging into the juiciness of a relationship. So that when they're old enough, or if they are old enough, what a champion looks like to women. These are the three things, guys. Live it.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. And actually, it gave me another question about something that's going on with my boyfriend. My boyfriend is very kind. It seems to be one of his values, kindness, integrity, honesty, which I totally support and respect. And he's in this situation where he has an opportunity or maybe even a potential duty to be a little more aggressive, no apologies, and take back what's his kind of situation. And yeah. I'm wondering how you balance, because I mentioned it to him on the weekend, and I don't know if I handled it the right way or not, because he was like, well, this aggressive thing is what I'm thinking about doing. And I said, well, I totally don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I'm wondering if you're going to be able to follow through, because it's not really in line with your values of being really kind. How does a man or how can a woman support a man in still maintaining his values while also stepping more into his masculinity and taking what's his?
Well, again, that comes, and you eloquently put that in regards to being in alignment with his values. Well, being assertive has to be part of that. You can be kind and honest and integral and yet be assertive. I want to make sure that men and women understand this, that it's not going against any of their values. You can be assertive and be in your power. And what ends up happening is you end up getting respect because you stood your ground because of your values and boundaries. And by, you know, laying it out that this is important to me. I don't believe that I have been treated in this situation. I don't know what your boyfriend's situation is where he has to step into his authentic masculine power to be more assertive. But it is once he claims it as a natural part of who he is, it becomes easier and easier. But again, it takes practice. Confidence is born out of practice. Repetition is the mother of skill, as Anthony Robbins used to say. It's confidence isn't just something that's natural. So he's going to have to try it on and get comfortable with that way. There's going to be ways that may land that people will not take him seriously. But if he does it from a heart-centered place and he's standing for what's right and what's noble, it will land. And it will become a part of who he is in a very authentic way. And he will never have to betray or go against his natural values and boundaries, which kind and tenderness and everything else. I have that. It's a big fundamental part of who I am. I'm a very kind, gentle man. However, I know when to turn it on and be assertive and do the things that I need to do to get it done. And that's a learned behavior that had to come over time.
So I'm guessing that, I mean, if a woman is listening and she wants her guy to do this, I think if a man is going to become a remarkable man, he has to have that desire within himself. So let's speak to the men who are listening. If there is a man out there who wants to get involved with your program, how can he and they do that?
They can go to theremarkablemanproject.com. Our landing page is there. They can enter their email. They'll get all their information. They can also go to Meetup and just type in The Remarkable Man Project, and you will see all the details about The Remarkable Man Project and our next event that we're having in Vancouver.
Cool. And what other cities are you in?
We're also in Calgary and in Edmonton, and we've just expanded into Victoria. In fact, we're having our inaugural meeting on Thursday.
And this show broadcasts on the internet all over the world. So, if someone's listening somewhere else, can they start up their own club?
What we're actually expanding globally. Our actual website, the one we have right now, is just the holding space right now for it. But we are scaling it. Our mission is to have 1 million remarkable men in the next 5 years. And so if they're inspired by what they heard tonight, get in touch with me. Let me know where you're from. And if you have leadership skills and want to scale this up and be a part of our leadership team, we're looking for leaders. And let's have a powerful conversation and move that forward.
Cool. Well, DJ Chrisorific is just getting his stuff queued up here for his show. I want to thank DP and Amy for sitting in, and I hope they had a good time. You have anything to say or add?
No, but thank you.
Yay, thank you. So is there anything that you'd like to add before we close the show?
Marie, I really appreciate you doing the show and having me on as a guest. I really honor what you're doing and the voice and the message that you have and creating that container for people. I think it's wonderful. And thank you for an amazing opportunity to speak with you and your audience today.
Well, thank you for initiating the conversation on Tuesday night. I appreciate it, too.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care, Dwayne. It was a pleasure.
All the best.
You too. Thanks. All right. Well, that was Dwayne Klassen. He is a remarkable man coach, speaker, and author. He's the author of The Remarkable Man. And if you wanted more information about what we've been talking about, you can go to remarkablemanproject.com or his website, dwayneklassen.com. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure. And I want to send you lots and lots of love. Chris is getting up. He's taking a big breath.
Namaste.
I love you so much. Namaste.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
I don't know if I've ever told this story.
In the late 80s and early 90s, a couple of